Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. And Matthew does not rush too quickly to the joy of Easter morning. He begins in silence, in grief, in the place where it feels like the story is over. He begins at the cross, where the earth shakes and the curtain tears. He shows us the women who stayed when others ran. He brings us to the tomb, to the place where dreams seem buried, where hope seems trapped behind the stone. Because Matthew wants us to know that Easter is not shallow joy. It is not pretending that Friday didn't happen. Easter is God's answer to all that Friday represents. It's God's answer to fear, God's answer to grief, God's answer to sin and death. So as you listen this morning, listen for the movement of this story, from silence to announcement, from tomb to testimony, from fear to joy, from what looks finished to what God is not finished with yet. And listen especially for the word spoken by an angel and the risen Christ. Do not be afraid. For that may be the Easter word some of us need to hear. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 50, through chapter 28, verse 10. Matthew, chapter 27, beginning with the 50th verse. Listen for God's word to you. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly this man was God's son." Many women were also there looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, For an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. There are moments when it feels like the story is over. Not paused, not uncertain, not unfinished. Over. And that is where Matthew begins the Easter story. Jesus is dead. The crowds are gone. The shouting has stopped. The disciples have disappeared. The movement seems finished. Rome thinks it's won. The religious leaders think that they're right. And the women who loved Jesus now sit opposite a sealed tomb and watch as their dream has been closed shut behind a stone. Saturday is silent. That is where Matthew wants us to begin, not with lilies, not with bright music, not with hallelujahs already on our lips. He wants us to begin in the silence, in the grief, in the ache, in that place where it feels like hope itself has been buried. Why? Because Matthew wants us to understand that this isn't just another day in the life of the world. This is the day when the whole story changes. This is the day that history turns. This is the day that God says, death does not get the last word. And Matthew tells the story in a fascinating way, because when Jesus dies, the whole world reacts. When Jesus breathes his last, Matthew says that the earth shook, the rocks split, the sky darkened, and the curtain in the temple tore. It's as if creation itself cannot remain neutral. It's as if the earth is saying, something is happening here. Pay attention. It matters. Even the Roman soldiers understand it. Not the disciples. Not the religious leaders, not the insiders, the soldiers, the ones who executed him. And they say, truly this man was God's son. Sometimes the people closest miss what God is doing. And sometimes the most unlikely people see it first. And then Matthew tells us something remarkable. The witnesses are not the 12 disciples. They ran. The witnesses are the women, the ones who stayed, the ones who watched, the ones who refused to leave. While others ran from suffering, they remained present to it. And that matters. Because resurrection hope is almost always seen first by those who refused to run away from pain. They watched Jesus die. They watched Joseph of Arimathea bury him. They watched the stone roll shut. And in their minds, this was the end. Not just the end of Jesus, the end of the dream. Have you ever had a dream die? Not a physical death, but the death of what you thought your life would be. The marriage that didn't last. The career that didn't work out. The prayer that wasn't answered the way that you hoped. The future that you imagined that never came. This is where these women are. They're standing at the grave of their expectations. And so when they come back on Sunday morning, it's not to celebrate, it is to grieve. Matthew says they simply came to see the tomb. But sometimes when we lose something that's important to us, we just want to be close. We understand it. We visit graves of loved ones. We hold on to memories. We revisit important places, not because it changes anything, but because love just won't let us walk away. But then Matthew says, suddenly, an earthquake. An angel descends, like the lightning, clothes white as snow. And the guards at the tomb, they become like dead men. Isn't that interesting? The ones guarding death look dead. And the ones who come expecting death witness new life. And then comes one of the most important lines of all of Scripture. Do not be afraid. Because resurrection always begins there, not with certainty, but with fear. Notice the angel doesn't say, don't worry. He says, do not be afraid. Because fear is one of the first things resurrection must confront. Fear says the grave is final. Fear says the silence is permanent. Fear says that what has been lost can never be restored. Fear says death is too strong. Fear says failure is too deep and that shame is too heavy. And the angel says, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. In other words, I know why you're here. I know what you expected to find. I know your grief. I know your sorrow. I know the weight of what lies behind that stone for you. And then comes the sentence that changes the world. The angel says, he is not here, for he has been raised as he said. He is not here. Not his memory remains, and not his teaching lives on, and not his influence continues. The angel says, he is not here. The tomb is empty. Death has been defeated. The grave could not hold him. God has raised him from the dead. Hope refuses to be buried. They sealed the tomb. They stationed the guards. They thought the story was over. But hope refuses to stay buried. Then the angel gives the women two commands that still shape the life and ministry of the church. They say, come, see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell the disciples. Come and see, then go and tell. Come and see what God has done. Come and see that death could not hold him. Come and see what looked final was not final after all. And then go and tell. Go tell the scattered ones. Go tell the fearful ones. Go tell the ones who ran away. Go tell the ones who think that the story is still over. Go tell them that Jesus is alive. And he's going ahead of them. This is still the church's calling. Come and see. And then go and tell. There's another little detail in this story that is very important. Think of this for a minute. Why was the stone rolled away? The stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. The way Matthew tells the story, the resurrection has already happened. Jesus doesn't need help getting out of the tomb. He's already out and on the move. The stone was rolled away so the women could come inside and see for themselves, so that they could know, so that they could witness, so that they could go and tell the others, God is not finished. Christ is not finished. And what might this mean for us? Sometimes God rolls away the stone not because Christ is trapped, but because we are. Not because the risen Christ needs a way out, but because we need a way in to faith, to hope, to wonder. The angel rolls away the stone so that we can see what God has done and what God is still doing. Matthew says the women leave the tomb with fear and great joy. And that may be one of the most honest lines in the whole Bible. Fear and great joy. Because if Christ is risen, then it changes everything. If Jesus is alive, then death is not ultimate. If Jesus is alive, then failure is not final. If Jesus is alive, then despair is not destiny. If Jesus is alive, then whatever looked sealed and shut may not be the end after all. And as the women run to tell the disciples, Jesus himself meets them. And I love that Matthew doesn't have Jesus meet them while they're still sitting there at the tomb. But while they're on their way, while they're on their mission, while they're carrying the message, while they're heading to the disciples to share the good news. And what does Jesus say to the women? Do not be afraid. We need to hear it more than once. Even when the angel has spoken, even when the stone has been rolled away, even when our hope begins to rise, our heart still trembles. And so Jesus says it again, do not be afraid. And the women, they take hold of his feet and they worship him. They cling to him. They bow before him. They know now that he is not merely their teacher or a prophet or a memory, that he is their risen Lord. And then Jesus sends them on their way again. But this time with what may be the most beautiful phrase in the entire resurrection story. Jesus says, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. My brothers. Not my deserters, not my disappointments, not the people who have failed me, He calls them my brothers. The same men who ran away, who denied him, who abandoned him. And the first word Jesus sends to them is not condemnation, but grace. That is Easter grace. The resurrection is not only about Jesus conquering death. It is also about Jesus gathering the scattered, forgiving those who failed, and making a new people. Easter is God's refusal to let sin and fear and betrayal and death have the last word. Easter is God's declaration that the powers that wound human life will not reign forever. And that means that Easter is good news not only for the disciples, but it is good news for us. And not only for us, but for the entire world. We know what kind of world we live in. We live in a world marked by fear, a world marked by violence, by shame, by loneliness and division and grief, a world where too much still seems crucified. And Easter speaks to that world too. Easter says, those who crucify do not win. Fear doesn't win. Death doesn't win. Because God has raised Jesus from the dead. And in raising him, God has said no to all that destroys life and yes to the new creation already breaking in. Easter says to us, no, you are not beyond grace. No, you are not beyond forgiveness. No, you are not beyond hope. No, this is not the end of your story. No, this world is not abandoned to darkness forever, because Christ is risen. So do not be afraid. The stone has been rolled away. Look and see. The tomb is empty. A new creation has begun. And because Christ is risen, hope still rises. Grace still reaches. And love still wins. Amen. Amen. Amen.